Well, welcome everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. I have Megan. Good evening, Megan.
Hello.
And
how
Miss
are you?
Karen. I'm fine, thanks. Good. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Hello. Good
how
evening,
you?
All.
Amen. And we are in the very long book of the third epistle of John.
Well, it is one more verse longer than the one last week.
It looks in my Bible to be shorter, though, of words.
Mine,
certainly
too.
No longer of words. So,
it's like it's the second shortest book.
Oh, it is? What's the shortest book?
The one we read last week.
Oh. There you go. So let us enter into the second shortest book, 3 John, Karen.
The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For
okay,
I rejoice.
You can stop there for a moment.
Okay.
So, you know, I with my trusty iPhone and strong scholar, the elder, which John is, both in age but also position, as we know, being the Apostle John, is writing unto the well-beloved, and that's, all, you could also say dearly beloved, Gaius, whom he loves in the truth. And that love there is that agape love, which loving in the truth is a testimony to. That is what agape love is. It's that love of choice. And these people, both John and Gaius, are people that walk in that truth, in the truth. And so he's goes on and he is saying that he wishes or prays above all things that Gaius would prosper. And this would be actually material prosperity and be in health. So prosper in health, even as his soul prospereth. And as we're going to go down and see, Gaius is a man and a servant of God who that which the Lord blesses him with, he uses faithfully in the service of the Lord. So it is a right thing for a man like Gaius to have John pray that he would prosper, because he is a faithful servant. He's trustworthy with that which God blesses him with. And we're going to see that in that testimony, both of John and also of Gaius, as we go down. And of course, when I look at being health, one of the things about health is, of course, the Lord isn't the one that is about to kill, steal, and destroy and to make us infirm and all. But also that to be in health allows you to minister and to have the strength and be in a position to do and be servants of God. and no matter where you are, you can, because there's prayers, praying for the brethren is service unto God, and you can be laying in a bed and do that. But here's a man that is serving God and is prosper, his soul is prospering, and John prays that even in the same manner that he would prosper both materially and in his health and in health. So would you guys like to comment before we move into verse 3?
Not I am all set. Megan?
It is obviously a good thing to have your soul prosper. And it's, I don't have anything to say on it, but it's obviously, it's something to consider and think about what that means and how to get there.
You know, it reminds me of when God asked Solomon what he wanted and Solomon asked for wisdom, and so God gave him everything else because he asked well. He asked.
Indeed.
and you know, what is the Bible said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the fact that Gaius' soul is prospering is because he has done that and continues in that. And all these things shall be added unto you. So it's also in agreement with the word of God. And that's Paul's prayer for Gaius.
You mean,
and one that Gaius, as a believer who hears, because one of the things about the things of God is they can be there for us, and yet we don't receive them. Gaius would be a person, or we ought to be a person, who, when the word of God is spoken to us, and the blessings of God are poured out for us, that we don't shun them and don't find excuse why we can't have them. And that can come in a myriad of ways. And I know I have done it in my ways. I don't want to anymore. So this is something Gaius can also receive at John's word. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to receive it.
I know when we pray over tithes and we ask that the tithes and offerings and of course alms are the ones that open up the windows of heaven, but when you do these things as unto the Lord and the tithe and offering and alms is prayed over, you should receive that which has been lifted up and asked and not be unmindful of the fact that God's a blesser of those who do his will and are faithful. You know, it's easy to do it and not look for, and it's not so much, I hate to use the word reward because you don't do it for the reward, but God rewards his children who are faithful servants and obedient servants. And we should have an anticipation of his perfect provision at all turns for us, whatever that looks like. We're not the definer of it, but he is a good provider. And when we do our part, it opens the door for him to do his. And we need to be willing, open our arms to receive the good things of God. And they're spiritual and physical. Not that you're ruled by the physical at all. So if you pick up there in verse 3, Karen.
For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
So here you see, just looking at verse 4, there is nothing that brings John more joy. Nothing. And if you stop and think about that, that means there's nothing that brings him more joy. I have no greater joy. That's what he's here for, to minister and to build up the body and specifically those who he nurtures. And there's no greater joy than to see that bear fruit and them to stand in that and to walk in it. That my children walk in the truth. So he rejoices greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in Gaius, even as thou walkest in the truth. And I thought that in looking up the word walkest, which is also the same word walk in verse 4 there, it is to live, deport oneself, follow, to be occupied with. And Gaius is occupied with the things of the Lord. And he does it faithfully. And that testimony that came back to John was one that was brought John great joy. He had ministered the truth to Gaius, and Gaius was walking in that very truth. You know, if you stop and think about it, that's why he ministered it in the first place, so that Gaius and others could have it. So isn't it a wonderful thing then when you see that they actually received it and then do it? So unless you all want to chime in there. Karen,
is this the same guy as that traveled with Paul in the Book of Acts? Carter asked.
As far as I know, there's no reason to say yes to that. I can't say yay or nay. I don't know. The only thing I can say is my Bible says this is 90 A.D. I kind of think it isn't. This is more like somebody John himself is ministered to, but I might be wrong. I don't know the answer to that. It's also, Acts is more, let me look at my Bible. I don't know how valid these dates are. But, yeah, looking at, like, chapter 27, that's 62 A.D., so that's, you know, 28 years. That's not really all that long, but I don't know. I wouldn't suppose it was, but I don't know. He seems to me more a disciple of John's. So, because John terms him my children, you know, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So, verse 5 there, Karen?
Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles.
You can read 8, please.
We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth.
Okay. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. So here we have a man who is a servant, a faithful servant, both to the brethren and to strangers. And strangers here, they're separated from the brethren. And I must say I'm not sure, but, you know, part of a Christian's walk is to minister to the body, but also to preach the gospel and minister the gospel to the unbeliever. And in all that this man does, he does it faithfully. He does it rightly. He does it in accordance with the leading of the Lord and what he knows. He's faithful in it. There's a word, fidelity, where if you have that, then it's where you can be entrusted with something because you will rightly care for it, rightly use it. And that's what you see a picture of here. That which he has been given, he uses rightly. He doest it faithfully, whatever he does. And it has, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. So there is a testimony that has gone forth and that is seen of this man's faithfulness in the church. Oh, wait a minute, that's actually not true there, because that there is about the people who he's talking about. Who are, I don't want to just use the word missionaries, but they're traveling. They move about preaching the gospel and bear witness of Gaius's charity before the church. And John is now saying, if you will bring them forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So, excuse me. Here he's saying, you know, this is where you support them in their ministry, but that godly sort is, it's not like some cookie cutter way in which you do it. You let the Lord lead you in it, but you do it. These are, and by so doing, the work that they do, you're a fellow, you partake of that work. There's a place for a variety of different, people in the body and what they do. Some are in homes, some are out and about, and the ones in homes open their homes to those who are traveling, and they help support that travel. And those, you know, I mean, that's what it is. And we were talking earlier, because like Grace Ranch, though it is stationary, It is an evangelical ranch that has many outreaches, of which one is this internet radio that we are on. And the body of Christ is called to support that ministry, and by so doing, we are partakers of that ministry, even if we're not the ones right there or not the ones on the radio. It is part of that being fishers of men, and this internet aspect is a broad, broad net. But it does take time and money, and the body that knows the truth is here to support these things, that truth might be sent forth to those who don't know the truth. And we don't look to them to support that ministry. We look to ourselves. And we're going to see where we actually saw that in verse 7, taking nothing of the Gentiles, because that for his name's sake they went forth. And they weren't going forth to get from the Gentiles, they were going forth to bring to the Gentiles, and the body that is a part of it helps to support them as they go forward. And we see that testimony with Paul. He went and he, though he certainly was benefited and supported by the body of Christ, he also went forth freely for the sake of others. And wasn't dependent upon others, though he does write to them and talk to them about the fact that, the Word of God says this, and it's needful for them to be forward that way. And this is basically the counsel John is giving Gaius, is it's important to be forward this way and to see the importance of the support of these people. And and that word charity there, though we think of it as giving to people who don't have, is really that agape love of choice. And in that agape love of choice is actual giving and support. But after a godly sort, there's all different kinds of things the Lord would have us do, and we need to be tempered by his leading and not by our own thinking. That we therefore ought to receive such, and these are those people that are ministers of Christ, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And we ought to be. And by so doing, we are fellow helpers. Would you like to comment there before we go into 9 there?
Not me. I think you said it fine. I don't have anything to add.
Neither do I.
Would you like to pick up there, and you can read about Diotrephes for us?
Yes. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church.
So Diotrephes is a person who is in the church, and he likes to be the high and mighty, looked up to one. He's as a Pharisee, really, and he actually rejects these people that John is exhorting Gaius to support. And he says, and I wanted to read something out of Matthew 23:13. It says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." And that describes Diotrephes pretty well. He casts them out of the church, and he won't receive the brethren. And he's malicious in his words against John. He received them not. He receiveth us not. And John is going to remember him when he comes and remember what he's done. And that's needful because a man like that is poison. And one thing you see here, too, in not receiving the letter John wrote, John being an apostle, you see here the rejection of that apostolic authority that John stands in. And by so doing, he rejects God. And we know that Jesus said, you know, in chapter 17 of John, where he prays for his disciples or apostles there, and then he prays for those who will believe on him, Jesus, through their words. And here you have a guy that does not. And he can undermine the faith and destroy the faith of others. And John isn't going to forget this when he comes. He hopes to come. And when he does, he's going to deal with it.
You also see that he's not content with just speaking ill against John and those who believe. That's not sufficient for him. He also goes beyond that, and then he's, you know, he doesn't receive the brethren, and he forbids those who who would join with the truth and cross them out of the church. But just that idea that just speaking ill against them is not sufficient for him. He actually goes beyond that.
Yeah. And I suppose that's really what moves John more than anything. But yeah, a man like this is, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about that separate yourselves from those who, let me just read it because I know I don't have the right words and dropping my trusty iPhone.
You know, on the upside of this, at least these people who've been cast out of the church are not being fed with lies. They're not there to hear him continue to have malicious words against the truth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you find the Thessalonians verse?
I'm looking for it. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. That's not the one. It was the one where it talks about unruly.
We can look up the word unruly.
Oh, disorderly. It's in verse 6 of, I think it's chapter 3.
Yeah, it's, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us.
Yeah.
Could you give that reference?
Second.
Go ahead.
Oh, you wanted to know where that verse was, or do you have it?
I was going to write it in the chat. There you go.
Yep, there it is.
2 Thessalonians 3:6 for the audio. You know, we can't rule another person's choices. And there are people that will go for various reasons, sometimes to follow another person. But we can stand in the truth and not give and not compromise that. That we can do. And, you know, in 2 John, we saw him give that counsel to the elder lady, basically not having such people even enter into her house nor bid them Godspeed, because by so doing, you're partaking of their evil deeds. And we're supposed to sound a sure trumpet. And part of that is to then stand. And it's not a place of rejection of people who are learning, because then really we'd all be rejected. But it's a place of standing against people who won't learn and who are going to choose that which isn't the truth and call it the truth. That's a whole different thing than somebody who is seeking to know the truth. But to seek to know the truth means you don't completely have it right now. And the Lord, you know, that's why he gives us days and mercies new every day, that we might rise up and learn of him, and he will teach us. And he gives us that, he gives us the time to learn. But here we have this man, he's not one that's seeking to know the Lord. He's a man that's seeking to be seen as somebody that he is not. And another scripture, and it's actually Matthew 23:11, that says that he that is greatest shall be servant, shall be the servant of all. And here you have a man that has that backwards. And he's a dangerous man, and John will remember what he's done when he comes, if he comes. So, if you'll read verse 11, please.
Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God.
And you know, this is, how can you do good but to be led of the Spirit? And as we all know, and we were talking about earlier, the same people can do the same thing, and one can do good and one can do evil. It's really about the motives of your heart. Love, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And a lot of times, that which is good is contrary to our flesh. The Christian church today, most of what they call good is, feels good to the flesh. What God calls good is a different thing. Follow that which is good, not that which is evil. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. He doesn't even know God. He doesn't have a clue.
You know, it's the word, I looked up the word follow, because I have the same cool little Strong's app. And the word follow means to imitate or follow. And both of them, but imitate in particular, is an action word. It's a doing word. And it comes back to doing faith. You know, walking faith. That's all.
No, that's a good point. Gail has a question. Not receiving in those that are not living godly. See, I guess this is where you have to discern the spirit, because, you know, there are those that are weak in the faith. And would you term them as not living godly? And in many ways, they're not. And yet their desire, you know, you don't reject a person who is coming and receiving, even if they haven't yet got their feet under them to walk. You reject somebody who says they are a believer, and yet the gospel they bring is false. And there's a time and place to separate from people who are there just to be contentious, and for no other reason. But these are things that the Lord leads you in. I know when I watch Davey's ministry, he ministers to people and they come and they go and they don't receive. But there are those, I know, back maybe in June or something, there was a man he'd been ministering to, talking to, who lives out in the desert. And the man came to him and was in need. And Davey didn't reject him. You know, the gospel until the Lord shuts the door is there. False doctrine and people who won't let go of it, that's a different thing. And who then minister it and undermine the truth and undermine the line of authority God has for the sake of the church, they're dangerous people. But people who don't know the Lord, or people who are yet young in the faith or struggling, God didn't reject me, and he didn't reject you. But, you know, it's interesting when you watch Jesus' walk, because I just happened to read Mark 5 with somebody this week, and in Mark chapter 5 you have three things. It's really a great chapter. You have the Gadarene demoniac, who, after he was delivered, wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go back to your home and tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. And he went back and he told what great things Jesus had done for him. And then you had Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, whose daughter was sick, and he says, Lord, if you would come and lay hands on her and pray for her, she will be healed. And of course, in the meantime, before they got there, his daughter died, and Jesus says, don't fear, only believe. And then you had, on their way, you had the woman with the issue of blood who says, if I can but touch his garment or his clothes, I will be healed. And he stopped when that happened because virtue or that miraculous power left him, and he knew it. And he turned to see who it was who had touched him, and his disciples are like, what do you mean? You're being thronged by people. But there was one person in that throng who had faith, and Jesus knew it. And she was fearful, and when he saw her, he said, you know, woman, go in peace. Thy faith hath made thee whole, or something. You have to go back and read it. That's not exactly what it is. But in all of that, with those three mighty testimonies, he was ministering to so many other people who really didn't necessarily believe. Now, many of them came to believe after his crucifixion and resurrection, or certainly some of them did, but he was thronged by unbelievers at this point. And yet, he ministered to all of them. But he also was, we know the testimony of Jesus is he did nothing but what his father told him to do and showed him to do. And that's that godly sort. That's that following that Megan was saying where you, what was the word you used, Megan?
Imitate.
Imitate. Or to do likewise. That's 1 John 2:6, I think. Those who... Let me just read it, because I'll get it wrong. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And, of course, we don't walk like he walked, but we are going after that. And that's where we walk by faith, not by sight. That's where we, when we fall, we exercise our faith. You know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations for the trying of your faith. What matters to God is our faith in him and what he said. There is a fruit of that faith that bears witness to in our life, but there's only a good witness when it is born of faith in God, not faith in ourselves, but faith in him. And it's that we're called to walk in, is in him and in his faith. We get to be partakers of him. And when we do and learn to do that, then we will also walk as he did. That's that mark that Paul kept pressing toward, forgetting what was behind. And the body of evidence against him. And he pressed on to that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he made it. He gave testimony of that. So verse 12.
Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And ye know that our record is true.
So John pulls out Demetrius and gives testimony that of the good report that is had of this man. And also, he says here, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. John is giving a second witness. John and those who are with him are giving a second witness to the faith and good report of Demetrius, and says to Gaius, you know our record is true. This is true. You know it. And so Diotrephes, he nails him. Demetrius, this is a faithful man. And he gives that second witness to Gaius of just that. He has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. So I didn't, before we finish, I didn't know if either of you wanted to comment on up to this point.
Well, one of the things to you see there is that, you know, when you're, we're talked of as being ambassadors for the Lord, and the way ambassadors are supposed to be, I say supposed to be because Steve lived in Maryland where he saw the actions of many ambassadors and how they behaved, which were not good. But what you're doing is you're there representing the country you come from. And so as ambassadors of the Lord, you come representing him. And so you come with a good walk, if you will. And so, you know, people, aside from the gospel itself, cannot really have aught against you when you're walking right before the Lord.
Yes.
The gospel itself is another story, but your actual walk, there can't be, shouldn't be anything to complain about.
And when you're talking about living around D.C. and you have ambassadors from other countries, the thing about ambassadors is they aren't subject to our laws. And I probably one of the things Steve has shared that you're referencing is how they then take advantage of that.
Rather than they park wherever they want, for example.
Or speed or do whatever it is they want. And
sure.
They're immunable to our, I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, they can't be ticketed, they don't pay a price, and we're not to be like that, which I believe is, we don't have a license, even though we're of a different kingdom.
When it says the truth and of the truth itself, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. So you have a man who had a good report of all men and of Jesus himself.
Yeah.
The Lord testified of his faithfulness.
Amen. So Karen, if you'll pick up and read the remaining verses.
I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name.
So he ends like he did with the elder lady, where he has more to say, but he is hoping to be able to come and say it face to face. And it's interesting that of course, peace be to thee. That's that reconciliation to God, the cessation of warfare with God. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends, and these are the brethren by name. And so, you know, that is, every member of the body of Christ is important. And John here is asking Gaius to greet them all by name. There's no respecter of persons in Christ. And all those who are faithful, John is greeting, and he asks them to greet him by name.
We do that periodically. When Karen went to Texas, I said to her, you know, please say hi to, you know, and rattled off the names of the people who live there. Because they're, as you say, there's each one is dear, you know.
She even mentioned the dogs.
I did. Well, not all of the dogs. The main dogs who frequent the kitchen.
Yeah.
I, you know, mentioned earlier with when I saw Tink come in how I'm counting the days till I see her and, you know, those who are coming with her and everyone else. And, you know, looking at the list of people who's in the chat this evening, I'm looking forward to seeing every single one of them because it's their brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Friends.
Members of the body.
Indeed.
So be strong and of a good courage in Christ Jesus. And I myself think often of Paul's exhortation to Timothy to be strong in the grace. And that is the gospel, because we're saved by grace, not by works. And the only way we can walk as Jesus walked is by that grace. So may the Lord bless you all, and we look forward, like Megan said, to seeing you next month, but also next week. Good night.